China. For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rob. Triple M rocks football.
And don't worry, we've got your Friday night covered here at the Triple MCG. This one is going to be a cracker. Richmond and the West Coast Eagles. Adam Simpson's going to join us, coach of the West Coast Eagles. Damien Hardwick's going to join us, coach of the Tigers. Biggest names on they come to Triple M footy. It's how you like it. I look around the room, I can see the biggest names in the game too. Gary Lyon, Jason Dunstall, both superstars. Melbourne and Hawthorn. Damien Barrett, the best newsbreaker in football. The Big Duke's going to be in later on. Howie, the Doc, the Chew Man. Everything you need on a Friday night as you drive home and you're stuck in the worst traffic in Australia because some donut won't fix it. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. And I admired your take on during the week about your political party.
Yeah, the transport party.
Yep.
I'm going with it, and I'll be swept in a landslide.
I'll be a paid-up member very quickly.
Hey, Jim, nice to be here. MCG Friday night. It seems a while since we've been here. And looking forward to West Coast Eagles and Adam Simpson, the job that he's done there. We're going to have a chat with him at about 10 to 7. And also some things that have come out of last night that need to be addressed as well. And concerns from me about the Hawthorn Footy Club.
All right, we're going to get to them in just a second. We've got a legend of the Hawthorn Football Club here. Hello, Chief.
Good evening, Jim. I'm very much looking forward to tonight's game because we've got two teams that are at the moment flying. And I'm not quite sure how good either is. And I haven't seen a lot of either of them either. So I'm pretty keen to see who's got the bona fides.
Oh, I like it. Now, you would have also had a look at the US Open today and Chambers Bay. Rolled paddock grass, some of those greens look like.
I tried to tell you. Didn't I tell you? Leading into it during the week, I said they had a few issues with the greens, the players. Not quite sure where the fairway ends and the green starts.
Anyway, they're all playing on the same course. So shut up and get on with it.
You reckon Tiger's enjoying it?
Yeah, no. He's almost got a fork in him. Now, Gaz, we watched last night. We watched last night with great... I did with great interest.
Yeah.
A number of issues for me. Yeah. I might have finally caught up with something Purple's been whining on about for years.
It's Thursday night observations.
Thursday night observations.
Which we're going to do on a Friday for the next 3 weeks because there's Thursday night games. You go first.
As you can imagine, I'm not a big football on television watcher.
Right.
So, in other words, we do Friday night, Saturday.
Why would you be?
Because I'm therefore live doing it.
Working the game and you're the chairman of a football
live
club.
Working it. And then the other game I watch is our game that my team plays in.
Yes. And you don't read newspapers?
So, three games live of a weekend's probably enough for you to be watched. So, sees me out.
But last night?
Last night, Thursday night, nothing on, I'm watching.
Australia's next top model.
So, Gary.
What?
Firstly, I have a look over at the host broadcaster.
Yes.
I wasn't sure who the game was against or that my picture was that fuzzy. I couldn't work out what was going on.
What do you
mean, Jim? So across I went to Fox, clear as a bell, Gary. High def.
Warrior.
Listen to me here.
Come on, Warrior.
Warrior.
I used to get shot down when I raised this 10 years ago.
Yeah, because no one listens when you speak. No, that's not true. But it was stark last night, and you explained to me why, because it's now a higher def than it used to be. It didn't used to be this stark, the difference.
Not the Channel 7 game. They were upscaling the standard definition until this year, and now it is the full HD, the 7 game. So, now, as we know, the exclusive Foxtel games have always been, in recent times, full HD. But the upscaling has stopped and it is now HD.
Well, the difference now is so stark, it is ludicrous. How do they put up with it, the host broadcaster, given how much they pay?
Well, Jim, you know I've been on this for a long time.
Well,
I've asked
it,
questions
Purple,
of Andrew Demetrio and Gillon McLachlan and they just ignore it.
It's not Trey Stones.
It has to be.
A Nine Network point of view are also guilty of that.
Well, Gary,
with the cricket?
We don't.
Yeah. With the cricket, Gary,
We prefer not to be.
Well, we've got to be fair and balanced, Jim.
Well, that was my first observation.
Yeah, what's your other?
My second observation was I'm all for jumper innovation, Chief. I'm all for it, Chief. But I'm not sure the Hawks got it right last night with the Power Rangers styling.
That's one of my concerns.
All right, go on. You take over.
That's a disgrace that jumper is allowed to be seen on an AFL playing field. And, Chief, as the man that reinvented this football club, you'd be horrified. Imagine your guts running around in that big lame suit.
Yeah, but they're all fit and ripped now, so it doesn't matter.
Mate, it is horrendous, Chief.
Yeah, but do you understand the significance of the jumper?
No, I don't. I can't. Imagine anyone mounting an argument that could make me understand.
Tell me the significance, Chief.
I don't know the full extent of it. The only point I'm making is that you shouldn't can something that you don't know about.
Chief, unless... No, there's no... You know very well.
It's a good point, Chief.
That is, honestly...
Look at the face on him.
Chief, don't cross your arms on that. And don't pretend that there's some significance behind
there
a jumper.
There is great significance. I just don't know what it is.
It's like a dress-up, like some kids pulled it out of his dress-up box. Sort of
it did look shiny. It almost looked a bit of like a sequin number, didn't it?
It's got the alfoil out, stuck it on there with the glue.
They mentioned something last night about what it's based on. It sort of slipped my mind. No,
that's what it looked like. The Power Rangers.
It does have some historical significance.
What do you mean?
Like what sort of significance?
Well, the way it's designed and why it's designed that way.
What's historical about it? I don't know.
What I'm saying is, before you bag it, you should find out, Gaz.
He's allowed to.
You're going off without it.
Tell you the aesthetics.
See, that's different because you are normally very well researched.
I am.
And you are normally able to make qualified opinions.
You're right.
Don't let yourself down.
No, well, I won't. But I would have done some homework if I thought there could possibly be any scintilla of historical
significance. There is.
Righto, Big Nose. Get on the phone to who should be called? Who is a man in
charge?
Stuart
Fox.
Ring Stuart Fox and tell him, we want to know the historical significance of putting alfoil on a white jumper.
Well, all I know is this. I'm watching. This is where our observations are flowing. I'm watching, of course, and there's very nice commentary stylings.
Yeah.
And at one stage early in the game, it might have been Hammer Time, our man, might have turned to the greatest hawk ever, Lee Matthews, and said, in the new jumper, Lee, how are you? I don't like it.
Well, he was
That's all he said.
Letha was more concerned about the long white socks.
The long white socks he didn't like.
No, you know I love Hawthorn, Chief. You know that. And I'm not joking. But they get things right 99%, or in recent times at least, since you were there, 99% of the time. That is one they haven't. And the other one was...
I'm waiting for the explanation. I hope it puts you back in your box.
Well, I'll be the first to put my hand up. If there's an historical element to that...
Why you have to wear a shiny silver jumper.
A gold, like really poxy gold sort of thing on your chest, then I'll put my hand up and apologise 1,000 times. Right. But it ain't happening.
What was the other thing?
This is more serious.
Yes.
The Hawthorn boys, who were going around punching blokes in the guts last night, treading a really fine line. And, you know, I'm not worried about the suspension now, but if they continue to do these silly little cheap punches in the guts, then they'll get fined. They'll get fined again, and then they'll go bang, and they'll be out. And then we know they're going to contend in finals. And we know that. Well, no, we don't know. We suspect, or I strongly suspect, they're going to be there in the last 2 weeks of the finals. Now, if Hodgie and Louie and Gibbo are doing these silly round arm punches to the guts, which don't hurt anyone, and all they're going to do is, you know, they'll write a check for $1,500 on Monday, and that's right. I don't want them missing games for it. But if they keep doing it, Mark Evans or whoever's in charge of that's going to have to go, right, I'm going to either go bang and there's $20,000, or you're going to miss a game. For what?
Are they disguising it enough, Gaz, in the tackling motion?
They're not even attempting to disguise it, Warrior.
What about Sam Mitchell's knee on Tex Walker? Anything there, or just a reflex action?
I must admit, at the time, I didn't think it at all. And when they slow-moed it and looked at it, I think he's able to justify it.
Being a reflex.
Well, you know, when you're confronted with someone like that, you're allowed to cover up. And that part of the hip, I think you can get that part of the hip just flush and it can fix you up. But, Chief, you're on now let me be serious.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about that?
To me, it's almost like they're trying to manufacture some aggression. I don't like it. I would rather the aggression be at the ball or be at the man with the ball. But they're trying to assert themselves physically. We saw it against North and it cost... Two pretty important blokes, a bit of a spell on the sideline. So they've got to get it right. I understand what they're trying to do, to be seen to be aggressive, but there are better ways to
do it. But those blokes, Hodge and Lewis particularly, are as tough and aggressive as anyone playing footy.
So they don't need to do it.
No, my point exactly. I mean, but their very presence out there is tough. When you see them attack the footy and you see what they do, you just go, they're tough. Yeah, they're a little silly one that wouldn't wind warrior. Well, probably would. That's just unnecessary, and it's just given the umpires or the judiciary an opportunity to go, all right, well, you've had enough warnings, you blokes. Now you can cop a game.
I reckon there's a little bit of frustration in there because I don't think the Hawks are playing particularly well.
No.
I genuinely think they're a number of levels below what they have been probably the last 2, if not 3 years. So they're trying to make things happen, trying to, as I said, trying to manufacture a little bit of aggression, and it's just not quite working for them at the moment.
They were pretty good when it counted last night, though, Chief. At three-quarter time,
it was pretty average last night. To be brutally honest, I thought they were pretty average.
What was average about them, Chief?
I didn't think they were hard at the ball at times. A number of players, I thought, were playing a little bit self-protective football.
That's a big statement from you.
Well, I only go on what I see.
Oh, of course you do.
And I know, look, I think a couple of blokes were carrying injuries, and maybe that contributed to it. But I just didn't think they made the most of the opportunities they had. And I think they're playing, trying to play too pretty a game at the moment. So, you know, it's a bit of a test to see how they can stay motivated, how they can drive themselves and whether they can find that best form again. But if they don't, mate, make no mistake, they'll struggle to make top four and certainly struggle to compete at the end of the year.
Jeez, it was a nice response, though. when Danger, I think it was Danger, kicked the goal, put him in front.
In front, yeah.
Gee, the response was of a side that's going to be there, from my point of view anyway.
Have you dug up info about the jump?
Well, they can't see it now. So this worst jumper I've ever seen in the history of footy.
And oh, not the worst one.
No, worst.
They wore a chameleon.
Yeah, we
no,
did.
Sort of check no, one. That
we
was
wore the jockey silks.
Yeah. That's the second worst.
Oh.
I would have said that was the worst.
This was
the worst.
Three lengths in front.
Worst
this thing
last night.
Oh, Jim.
I didn't like it.
Go
but
and have
that,
another
the jockey
look at it.
Silks was horrific.
But
the fact that he's going so hard means he doesn't like the explanation he's been given.
But.
I don't think Lukey saw the right explanation.
I'm the first person to put my hand in the air if, as Chief alluded to, there is an historical significance behind the jumper. And we need to be man enough to say, I got it wrong.
Right.
So you didn't get it
in
wrong.
In this instance, I did it, Jim.
Oh.
Well, what is
there
it?
Is ap- oh, this is a quote. No. Absolutely no historical element to the jumper.
Chief. Well, what is the design? What's the design?
Whatsoever.
Chief.
That's from your media man.
Chief.
That's it.
Chief.
Okay. So what else? What's a...
No, none. So let's get back
at it. Well, no, there was
no historical significance
whatsoever.
If you listened
to the call last night, they had something that referred to who designed it and what it was
every couple of
on.
Years, apparently, you've got to change over your alternative strip. Unbelievably player input into this one.
Chief.
And then he said it's selling through the roof.
No way.
I don't know where, Chief.
Who's the media man then?
Oh, I don't know. That's who Big Nose spoke to.
We don't have a media man. We have media girls, don't we?
Leah. Beautiful Leah.
Okay.
No. So, none. So,
but
anyway.
The commentators start... last night
well, they
made reference to... They were obviously... briefed or given a
they were trying to justify
something
it.
On
that makes a bit of spin, Chief.
Maybe.
Well, Chief, all I know is this: when you were riding the mahogany desk like a bull, and it put the club single-handedly back on track after it had lost its way, you went in, Chief, and fixed the joint, including sacking multiple, and did it by just hanging.
Stop, Chief.
Chief, we know how you did
stop.
It.
The stop.
The license plate
stop
numbers
now.
Were just put on the game. And if you saw your number, you didn't come in, Chief.
You shouldn't be flipping about
that's
those
That's how
things,
you cleaned
Chief.
Them
you
out.
You should not
and
be
Chief,
flipping about that.
Three premierships later is the legacy. I know this wouldn't have happened under your watch.
Well, you know, if you had the balls to do something at North,
no!
maybe
oh,
you'd
have
some
Chief.
Success there as oh, well.
It's exactly right. What I've done.
You keep plodding along in mediocrity. It's
fix
all
the
good.
Jumpers, Chief. Yeah. Our jumpers are magnificent.
Yeah,
Chief.
So, Chief.
Is that helping you win on field, Jim?
Yeah, get personal on this instance.
Exactly, Chief.
It's just the worst jumper in the history of AFL.
Exactly right,
VFL footy.
Little bride, drive-by just to take attention away.
I
won't
yes,
let you get
did.
Away with this. On, this, on another
work,
instance,
Chief.
I'd let you go, but on this instance, Chief.
I think it has great historical significance.
No, it doesn't, Chief.
I think it has a great cultural meaning.
None.
No.
And certainly
Chief.
The players have bought into it.
Oh, hang on.
No,
and it's magnificent.
No, they haven't.
There's absolutely no meaning of any of that type.
What it has is embarrassed what is a great, great football club, and there'd be some blokes that... What have you given me here, Nose? Why haven't I got me glasses? I can't read. Now, you carry on while I read this, please.
All right. Well, we need to get to the bottom of it because I'm with you, Gary. It was a rare mistake made, Chief. And my point
someone
is...
someone at the club will come up with something that justifies it, Jim,
it
I hope.
Wouldn't have happened soon. Under your watch is all I was saying, Chief.
Someone come up with something
motivated
soon,
by the elements of an on-field battle and the recent success of the club, the Guernsey's
there you
been
go.
Up.
It does have historical value.
Oh, yeah.
None,
yeah.
Chief.
Yeah.
Recent historical
it
value.
It goes back to the Romans where they wore big gold chest plates, Chief. Overwhelming call from the pack for Chief to fix the jumper.
Fix it, Chief.
They just it's not said, for me to fix.
No, they said, you've got pull, Chief.
It's not for me
fix
to fix.
It,
I
Chief.
Have nothing to do
well,
yet. You understand that?
They said, you're the man. You must go and
Jim,
do
Jim,
you cover it. You
Jim.
Cover it again,
one,
Chief.
One more quick one. I think the leader of the pack, Teddy Wheeler, has had a baby, I think, reading between the lines.
Teddy.
Congratulations,
well,
Teddy.
Well done to Teddy.
Nice one. Good stuff. Jim.
Yes, please.
Cast your mind 2 or 3 years back.
Yes.
North Melbourne run with some sort of Argentinian soccer-style jumper?
We did, and we had to at that time to fit into the AFL criteria.
Had to be like that, did it?
It did, unfortunately.
And what was your record? What was your record like?
I liked that one, too.
And it sold. That did sell like hotcakes. But we eventually got a nice compromise with the blue on white and the white on blue.
Because you couldn't win in that jumper?
I don't know if that was the issue.
Record just, stunk it up, apparently, Jim.
We just, what we needed to do, Chief, was address what was a wrong
Chief.
Within the
it
system.
Was an anchor.
And we fixed
it was
it.
An anchor hanging
we fixed
around,
it, Chief.
You? It was rubbish.
Chief,
which
it.
Is what clubs do. You need to fix yours,
no.
Which is rubbish.
No, but they win in it.
Chief.
Well, not like the rubbish one you had, Jim.
Chief, it's got nothing Chief. To do with win-loss. It's got to do with looking...
Do you want to win ugly or lose pretty?
The Hawks would win in a
Chief.
Sack,
unfortunately,
Chief.
That's
you
the mindset of you at North
nude.
Melbourne, Jim.
You could be nude and win, Chief. It's got nothing to do with winning.
Well, you can't
it's because
how you
that look.
Would break AFL rules.
It's how you look, Chief. And
no,
you last
not.
Night looked horrible.
See, that's the difference between Hawthorn and North. You are all worried about how you look. We're worried about results.
Chief, we wear the same jumper we've worn for 100 years.
The Demons have got a good alternative strip.
What's that?
That's not working for us. Exactly.
Neither strip works for them. Their normal strip doesn't work for them, Gav.
All right, Chief.
You can't wear it again, though, Chief.
Hey,
can't they?
No.
They can do what they
fix
like.
Fix it, Chief.
They can do what they like.
Don't get personal, Chief. Just fix it.
To do
that's
with
all
it.
You
got
need
nothing to do.
To do
with it.
Patrick Dangerfield, 6 minutes off the ground last night. Why? Is what everyone's asking, especially at a stage of the game where it was slipping away for the Adelaide Crows.
The length of that time, Jim, is something that Phil Walsh doesn't want to engage in conversation about. He chose not to in the post-match press conference. But
hang on, what do you mean? He said, I'd rather not go into it.
That it's not a deal. It's not a big deal to us along those lines. Steve-O put the question to him, as far
I'm not being smart, but is he saying there is a reason and we're not telling you? Or
just said it wasn't a big factor on the game, or the way he answered, that was the take I got in the response.
From the comfort of the lounge chair, it was a big factor because Dangerfield was the best player on the ground, or one of the best three, for his work through the middle. Now, I understand he may have got the wrong spot. Or
there were two consecutive centre clearances, weren't there, Gaz?
He started forward. That's the other thing. He started at... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because when you're not there, you're at the mercy of the telly, but I'm sure he started at full forward for the last quarter, given that Taylor Walker was off the ground.
Yeah,
they couldn't get the ball forward. They couldn't get him into the play, so he effectively sat there doing nothing. Now, then he must have gone into the centre and got to the wrong spot a couple of times and was taken from the ground. And then that's fair enough.
Yeah, and Dermot Burton took me only an hour ago
into great detail
as to the why. And his version of the why was there were two consecutive centre clearances where he just did not do what he should have done in his eyes.
Hence the discussion with Camporelli and Camporelli is absolutely within his right to be very strong in the direction he needs to give Danger, and then if Danger's got questions, so be it. The question is, 5.5, 6 minutes...
That's hurting the team.
That's extraordinary. And during that period, the Hawks were on a rampage.
Are you reading a bit more into it? Are you reading the big picture into that scenario last night? The big picture being the future of it?
No. Okay. Not for a second. I just staggered as to why your man, who has been, was 28 possessions or so at that particular stage and just had a dominant barnstorming third quarter. Okay, I can understand, roll the dice in the last quarter and say, okay, if we can get some clearance work here, then Danger might slot us a couple. But pretty quickly, that didn't appear to be the case. So slide him back into the midfield and see if he can get some penetration from there. But, I would think that the question was absolutely reasonably asked of Phil Walsh why he was on the bench for so long. Because, I mean, you watch tonight, it'll be, what is it, Chief? Three minutes is a long time for a midfielder to have a spell now. So that did seem very strange, and I would like to know the reason behind that.
Well, it was shut down by Phil Walsh when it was put to him last night.
All right. And look, I thought the Crows were okay. I think the Crows are pretty much where they're at. They're just inside or just outside the eight. Phil Walsh is, he's got the job ahead of him. I mean, I'm not sure the Dangerfield thing's going to be a distraction.
I don't think so. I think they're not going to put a gun to his head in a metaphorical sense to ask him where he's going to be. I wouldn't have thought.
And it wasn't affecting his form.
No, it wasn't last night. Guys, you made the point when, I think it was round three, when Bernie Vince did a number on Dangerfield, and Phil Walsh post that game said that he's not going to ever have one of his players play that way. And then the extension of that, and he's mentioned it recently too, that he's not going to change the way he wants football to be played because he said there's an obligation to the big picture, the game itself. Is that going to get them into trouble? Is that the reason they got blown away in the last quarter last night when they might have been down on men with Walker off, obviously, but is it going to be something he might have to just tinker with if he is to get or keep Adelaide in the eight?
And again, from the TV, from the comfort of the lounge room, it didn't appear to me that he was too worried about the aesthetics of Sam Mitchell's beautiful ball work early when he had Rory Laird dagging around behind him and doing a very good job early in the piece. So I think those sorts of comments need to be taken in the context of what they are. And he will adjust accordingly to what he thinks is most important for his footy side. But no doubt Laird went to Mitchell and put a lot of work into him, and I thought did a really good job early in the piece. Sammy Mitchell was almost impossible to keep out of the play. But the Hawks do what the Hawks do. I mean, what a comfort it is to have when you're getting challenged by any side. And Adelaide challenged. I thought they were really... they refuse to go away when other sides have been blown out of the water, when the Hawks dominate in the manner they did. But at various stages, they're trying to get through a half-back line that had Hodge sitting in a hole, then had Burgoyne going back and sitting in a hole, and then they'd free up Mitchell, try and go back. And it's just, I mean, it is such a blessing, and it's full credit to them to be able to develop their list to be in such a a position now where they can do that. But they've got on-field coaches as well as off-field coaches. They understand and read pressure. They know when it's coming, so they'll burn a little bit of time off the clock. And I think they're still the team to beat the Hawks. I like them. I know Chief, and I agree with him. I don't think they're anywhere near their best. But no, Gunston didn't hit the goals, didn't hit the scoreboard. Ruff. Neither did Ruff.
I think Gunston's been a bit sore, Gaz, for a couple of weeks now. And I think the bye's going to be good. Oh, has been good. He's had leg problems, basically, for some time and was in a moon boot during the week even. Mm.
What about Suckling, Chief? Where's he at?
Well, he's found himself dropped at one stage a few weeks ago. Yep. So he needs to make sure that he's playing well every week. Or, you know, he's going to find when one or two players come back into the lineup, it might be his name that's getting discussed every time that they need to create a vacancy.
Has the kicking reprogramming actually buggered up his programming? He doesn't look as certain with the footy as he has done in the past.
No, well, I think it got to a stage where he was perhaps trying for too much with the kicks. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, because he's playing more forward now, so they're looking at different strings to the bow, I guess. They've moved him up onto the wing and now they're trying him at half forward. And, you know, he's got the potential to be very clever in that area, and he kicked a good goal
he did
last night. Missed a set shot, though, that, you know, you might have thought was more up his alley. But, you know, he's just one of those that's fighting for form a little bit. I think more than three quarters of the team aren't in the same sort of form that they were last year.
Do you think he'll be there next year, Chief? Suckling?
Well, I don't know. I think he's out of contract at the end of the year, and I guess the manager will do what the manager does for most players, and that's try and get the best deal for them and then weigh up the options.
Yeah, and whoever's managing him should put down the name Nick Malcheski and just push it along and just put that straight in front of Matty Suckling and say, consider this before you do anything.
Has footy changed a bit the way it's structured too, Gary? You used to be able to get a really good kicker and sort of make sure he could stay across half-back and distribute. I don't think teams are allowing that anymore.
Well,
so therefore they get a little bit more exposed because they've got to defend and they've got to be accountable.
Depends on the strength of their will, Jim, and their intestinal fortitude.
I see.
Because Luke Hodge goes where he wants, when he wants.
We're dealing with a superstar.
Matt Suckling doesn't.
We like to throw Friday nights at the Chief and see just who can chip off out of a week of controversial sport around the globe. Chief, I think we've got a nice intro before we get to you. Here we go.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off.
Right, Chieftain.
Right, Jim. I was watching a bit of cricket during the week.
Yes.
The West Indies Test cricket team.
Yep.
Now, I know there's a few issues over in the West Indies, mm-hmm. and they're at odds with the players over pay, and there's a few players that now don't play, or they won't pick a few players.
Yep.
All sorts of things going on. If you remember back in the 70s and 80s,
mm-hmm.
the West Indies was sensational to watch. Mm. They had the swagger, they had the arrogance, and they had the performance. Right now, we've got a West Indies cricket team that has the swagger and the arrogance,
yes.
but zero performance, Jim.
Mm.
In that second test against Australia, they were confronted with 392 runs as a chase in the fourth
yes.
innings. What about the way they dug in?
Mm.
It was magnificent, Jim.
It was.
They fought and they scratched and they battled for 114.
That's it.
The biggest pack of untalented squibs I can remember seeing for a long, long time. They are now officially a Test cricket minnow. And they need to just get themselves back on track by playing Bangladesh, Zimbabwe, maybe even Canada and Kenya
You're
and a few of
them
those
back
teams.
Into that,
they
those
need
ranks.
To go back to the minnows because their Test cricket is a fiasco. And so they can ship off.
Right.
And just a quick little drive-by. Our good mate, and I love him.
Oh,
worked with him over at the Olympics. He's one of the best blokes you've ever run to, Brendan Julius.
Oh, no.
But
no.
When you're introducing the
yes.
Sir Wank Forrell Trophy,
yeah, that's it.
Maybe get the Sir Frank Worrell out.
In
properly.
The right way,
so
yep.
Beads a little ship to you.
Yeah.
We saw a record crowd for State of Origin football
yes.
here at the MCG during the week. 91 and a bit thousand. It was a make, and what a cracking game.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brilliant game. Now, we saw two disallowed tries.
What about them?
One to New South Wales, which was a little dodgy. It was a line ball forward pass, but I don't
yes.
mind that decision because it was against New South Wales.
Yes.
But the video ref that decided to take a try off GI.
Yes.
Off
90 metre
yep,
chap.
Yep. And this is, again, where the on-field referee said, I have a try,
mm-hmm.
but could you check for any incidentals? And he somehow found a hand that actually touched the footy from Queensland that may have knocked it forward that nobody else could see.
No.
The video didn't show it. None of the commentators could see
no.
it. but this bloke could.
Nappy might, was it Nappy?
No, he needs Nappy to, what this bloke needs to do
corridor,
is perhaps he needs to brush up his refereeing, perhaps up in the backwaters of Papua New Guinea or somewhere like that. Just find a remedial league gym where he can maybe...
Oh, no.
I mean, are the NRL that desperate to have a live series going into Game 3?
Mm. Yeah.
Because that was disgraceful, that decision, and he needs to ship off. I don't even know his name, so you no-name flog, you can ship off.
Ship off.
Did you watch the NBA finals?
Yes.
Absolutely magnificent.
Yep.
The Warriors getting home. And it was great because a fifth Aussie was always going to get a championship ring.
Bogey.
And it ended up being Andrew Bogut.
Yep.
Now, the scenes of celebration afterwards were absolutely magnificent. I have a feeling that the Warriors went through about $25,000 or $30,000 worth of French champagne that they tipped on their heads and on the floor.
Yes.
Which is a little bit excessive. Hmm. But someone needs to get to our boy Andrew, Big Bogey, and say, mate, you don't tip bottles on your own head. You shake them up and you hose other people. Jim, he was tipping it on his own head!
I saw it, Chief.
Just for a little bit of post-victory toolery, you can ship off, Bogey. Now, I've only got one more.
Toolery.
And it pains me, this one. It does, because we're talking about a repeat offender. A recidivist.
Get into him, Chief.
A recidivist. Gary, we've had this discussion time and time again.
We
and I had something brought to me during the week and I thought I would hold it until tonight.
Good.
The green stuff's for the players.
It is. Chief, you're not going there again.
The green stuff is for the players and at times coaching staff and medical staff when needed. Right.
Jim, I don't like the sound of this.
Players, that's where the players play.
Have you got photographic?
Let's produce the photo.
Showing a photo. Just showing a photo.
On the ground.
By Wayne Ludby.
Is that not on the ground?
Wayne Ludby at the Herald Sun.
Not on the ground.
Right. It says North Melbourne President James Brayshaw behind the goals at training.
Behind the goals.
However, in front of the net, in front of the fence, on the goal line, and holding a footy.
When was this?
At training during the week. So,
Tim.
Well, the point I want to make is the players play out on the ground.
Wasn't
administrators administrate, Jim.
Chief.
You don't administrate out on the ground. Shut up. It's my ship off. I'll tell you right now, Jim, you need to stop making it about you. You need to get out of the way. What on earth you're holding a football for is beyond
me. I need to make it more
you're
about
embarrassing
me.
Every administrator out there. Jim. You're embarrassing your club. You're probably embarrassing the North players because I'm pretty sure they wouldn't like it.
Jim
you need to piss off.
Jim.
Because this is just
Jim.
Completely unwarranted and completely...
Chief.
Absolute...
Jim.
You tool
look,
activity.
You look like a flop.
Chief. I was off the ground.
Jim, you're on the ground.
And speaking to a legend of the club by the name of Mick Kennedy.
I haven't.
And that's all
Mick
I was doing.
Photo,
he's behind Drewy.
All I see is Drewy in the goal square and Jim with a ball
Jim,
2 metres from
him. Jim, you're in an ill-fitting pair of jeans.
I think I've got to make it more about
an ill-fitting pair of jeans and you're on the ground.
What you can do now is you can go to Twitter and you can have a look at the photo and be your own judge.
I support you, Jim.
I'd like the pack to give us a little bit of feedback on the photo.
At Triple M Footy.
Let's be brutally honest. This shit can't happen anymore. If there is one more instance of this, you've done it before, you need to be summarily dismissed from the game. Banned from any activity in the AFL. Brace your ship off!
I think at five and what are we, 5 and 6? I need to make it more about me, Gary. That's what I think.
Jimmy,
I might just be the catalyst
for that photo.
What about the look in your eyes, Jim? You can actually see the photograph being taken and you're not.
No, I had no idea
you're
there was a
right
photo
down the barrel.
I'm talking to Mick Kennedy, he's a legend of the club.
Talk to him on the hill.
Yeah. Why is he in front of the net?
Drew's trying to kick goals.
Nothing. Drew's miles away.
Drew can't even get a footy because you've got one tucked down your arm going, look at me, I've got a footy in me.
I think we need the pack to buy into this one.
Get onto a pack and give some advice.
You've gone there again, Chief. We've had this discussion.
Obviously not correctly, Jim, because you're still doing it.
Chief, I do what I like. I've told you that.
Not in here, you don't.
Not we're in this not in here.
Not in this Triple M setup.
We're
you know.
Not in
and
here.
And not on the oval, that you is, don't do what you want
it's
either.
It's one of your rules, Jim. It's one of your big rules.
Chief, I'm not on the ground.
You're
if
on the ground.
You're on the green, Jim.
You're on the green. With
you
a footy.
Need, I tell you right now, you need to stop it, Eddie. All right?
Pull up.
Pull up right now.
That is, you having a go at the great man?
No, what did I say?
I think you had a go at the great man.
I said, no, Jim, stay off the grass. Jim, stay off the grass.
Very dangerous
Jim.
Territory now.
Chief, did you bring Eddie in?
I won't
show?
Have one of my
you
brethren spoken about like that.
You brought Eddie.
Well, that was an accident, guys.
Oh!
You need
you
to stop
disingenuous
right now.
Man. You have brought him into this, and that is unfair on one of the great presidents of the comp.
You need
take
to pull
that
up.
Back.
Pull up, Eddie.
Oh! Again!
Stop doing it, Jim!
What I'm hearing! Oh, he'll be savage on you, and so he should, after the amazing work he... And I've done what you're saying.
What's the award that Spud has for the whoever gets
Golden Trumpet?
The Golden Trumpet.
I'm in the Hall of Fame, Chief.
Yeah, I might have the Tool of the Year, and right now you're leading.
Down on the boundary does a magnificent job. He's Mark Howard, and we crossed him for the first time tonight. Hello to you, Howie, and you have the coach of the West Coast Eagles, Adam Simpson, with you.
Evening, Jim. Great to see you here, Coach. I think your boys and girls were telling me you're only over here four times for the whole year, which is quite extraordinary, and the only time you play at the MCG, which is a great opportunity for your young team.
It is. It's disappointing, but I suppose that's the way it is. And four games in Melbourne, we'd like a couple more, but that's just the way the draw came out.
Simo, good luck, mate. It is great to have you here from our point of view to get a first-hand look at the obvious and substantial improvement that you've been able to get over the summer months, but also on the back of setbacks through injury that are out of your control. And I guess this side will provide a really stern test because you've had a few issues with them in the last couple of outings.
Yeah, we went down to the Tigers last year in the wet when the Vickery Cox incident happened. And look, we were really disappointed that night. This is a different team we're playing. We're a different team as well, and I think the ground also provides us with a new challenge. Just looking at it now compared to Subiaco, it's just so much wider and shorter. Our players will have to adapt.
So how much will that affect the way that you play? I mean, your style of game is your style of game. I wouldn't imagine you tinker with it too much, but you're sort of saying that because of the dimensions, you do have to make some changes?
No, we're not going to make any changes, but to see if we can stand up on a bigger ground and how we defend and how we move the ball, I think there's a chance we could get trapped down on the outside. So I'm aware of it, our players are aware of it, but can they execute is probably the next question.
Simo, been a super first half of the year for the Eagles. I mean, the way you've had to overcome a number of injuries and whatever, and it's okay for us to guess from the outside, but it's always good to hear it from inside. What to you is the one thing that's clicked the most for the Eagles this year?
Yeah, I've been asked that a couple of times. To be honest, what we've tried to introduce as a coaching group from the start of last year is, you know, specific roles for our players, and we've trained that and educated that the best we can. And over the course of 30 games now, I think our players have adapted to their roles really well, and they understand what style of play we like and what we want. So we haven't really deviated. We're just executing it better. And to be honest, I think it's probably more ingrained than it was last year, where we saw inconsistencies in games, let alone and quarters, let alone games. So to be honest, they're just executing our instructions better.
The specific roles you referred to there, Adam, has that really benefited someone like a Sherrod Wellingham, who seems to have re-emerged in 2015?
I reckon we've got probably four or five players who have now found, you know, their calling a little bit with the roles that we've given them. And, you know, Jamie Cripps is one, and Sherrod and
Maston
and Hill and Gaff and these types of players. It was a pretty big change from what they were used to before I got here. So it took a little while, and now they're confident that we can have some success playing that role. So I suppose that's what brings a bit of confidence is when you win.
Everyone's awake up now to the talents of McGovern down there at fullback. But having had only 13 games to his name coming into this year, did you expect him to actually do what he's doing?
I was hoping.
Yeah.
Especially when we lost McKenzie and Brown early. I think he's destined to be up forward.
Do you?
I think so in the long run. And, you know, at the moment he's still finding his feet as a defender, and look, he's probably gone above expectations, but I think in the long run he'll be a pretty consistent swingman.
Is it easier to play back than forward then, Simo?
Well, if you ask Garvey, he thinks it's pretty easy everywhere. He's one of those big fellas with a bit of swagger.
What about a bloke by the name of Xavier Ellis? You would have been well aware of him when you were at Hawthorn, Simo. He had so many issues with his body, and that a bit of that's continued. Are we going to see some continuity in his footy?
I hope so. He's battled all year. He's only played one game. So his body is letting him down, and for the talent that he can provide when he plays and when he's up and about, I mean, that's the reason why we got him. We took a little bit of a punt. He played 17 or 18 games this last year, and hopefully we can get some consistency out of him this year. But he's only one game back, so we've still got reasonably low expectations at the moment.
And Jack Darling, in a way, is a similar story. Such a talented guy. You managed to rush him straight back in.
Yeah, well, I don't think we rushed him. We actually took an extra 2 or 3 weeks to prepare him to play senior football. And, you know, one game at East Perth is all he needed to show us that he's ready for some senior action. And last week I was happy with his game, but I think he's got another gear.
How good is Elliot Yeo and how good can he be?
Yeah, I've got some high expectations for Elliot. He's another player who has that confidence in him, in his own ability, and he'll back it up with the way he competes. So I just love players who have got confidence in their ability, and if they can back it up, I think they're destined to be, he's destined to be an A grader. I just don't know how long it's going to take.
Simo, you're one of the more composed in-box coaches, if you like. Is that something that naturally occurs with you, or do you have to remind yourself that there are cameras and I might just need to keep it in the down low?
No, I don't particularly change, mate. I think, to be honest, they've stopped putting the camera on me, so I can do what I want now. I could sit there in the nude and it wouldn't cross over to me. So I'm pretty comfortable with what I do in there, and you've got to stay in the moment and focus on the game and not worry too much about umpiring decisions or things you can't control.
All right, mate. We've got to let you go. You've got a team meeting. Always very good to us. Thanks very much, and good luck tonight.
On you, boys.
Thanks, you, mate.
Adam Simpson, coach of
just spat at the
West Coast. Why has he?
An act of petulance.
What happened then, Gary?
And the earphones have gone off. You haven't broken another chair, surely. That can't be the case.
Just the headset.
The headset went off.
I had me bestie to come.
You can't leave your bestie to the last.
Well, I was building up to me bestie, and no, said I can't ask any more.
What was it?
How do you handle a flog president that walks out onto the ground?
Yes, good that you don't have time for that, Gary. You don't need to worry about that on game day. Coach of a team.
He likes that little loosener up. Half volley outside leg stump.
Actually, he would have dealt with that too. It was his fault 2 weeks ago, by the way, so I would have blamed him instantly.
That was the Hobart incident.
Damien Hardwick is about to come.
On the green.
Well, unlike you, Chief, I actually have people who are friends of mine.
You have to stop it.
That's the difference.
You've had
30 years in the game and you haven't got any mates.
Stop it.
I've got people that like me. That's the difference, Chief.
I don't know who they are.
Quickly running out of them, Jim, if you keep doing what you're doing. Hey, when Duke gets in. Warrior's got 5 questions on Richmond.
Has he?
He's going to fire away. So for
what,
Richmond
all
supporters.
At the Duke, or are you and
no,
Chief
no,
going to...
No, because it'd be boring if it was just... Oh. So we'll share... No, I say that with love.
Do you?
No, you don't.
Well, there's no love attached to
well,
that.
Not, if that's the case, Chief and I can go off and have a sandwich. Of course, it's to the all of us. But
you can answer him too, Jim.
No, probably not.
No, we don't want Jim's answers.
And Duke's got some answering to do too, which I'm sure he'll do when he comes
has
in.
Has he?
Yep, he's probably... hope he's left.
Oh, no, he'll be here, don't worry.
I hope he's left Hawthorn. He is known to leave it late on a Friday night.
He'll be on board. Don't worry about that for 1 second. A man who comes in at 7 and his presence is always very welcome is the Big Duke. Hello, Luke Darcy.
Hello, Jim. G'day, boys. Good to be here on a Friday night. And I like the Tigers fans. I think they are some of the most resilient that you'll find. And when they start...
You work with one, of course.
I work with a lunatic one who whips them into a frenzy. But you can't knock the fact that over the journey, they haven't had success for a long period of time. If they get a bit of a roll on, they come out in full voice. And just wondering in, as I do a little bit later tonight, there are people out there everywhere for a big Friday night game. Tiger supporters en masse tonight, which is great.
And they like you. They like you, and they like the way you go about your job, which is a very hard job. To call footy's a tough job, and you need to be measured and restrained, and you need to be just make sure that you're under control at all times, because things happen out in the game of footy, and when that happens, you've got to have a clear mind.
You don't need to be measured and controlled all the time. You need to be...
And the controversial moment comes on, we look for a nice, calm voice.
Swallows an in-and-under star. He goes head first and good. No, you can't pay that. Decision of the year. It is just a horrendous decision and it ruins a good game. What else are you supposed to do?
Cool, calm,
I liked it,
understated.
You would have been feeling my pain, Jim, at the time.
I liked it. Just didn't go over the top. Just said the game would be ruined.
It had at that stage, Jim. Well, it had then. Had a couple of chats with the umpiring department during the week. Cambo was a little unhappy with the tone. And on reflection, it might have got a little
Dookie boy.
A little carried away in the moment. But can I just say this?
I'm with you. It was a tough call.
It was a tough call. Yep. And technically, they
it's
can
a
go,
correct call, though.
They can go through and say, yes, Chief, it is a correct call because we've changed the interpretation. And now we understand that if you go to bend over, the impossible not to pick up a ball without bending your head, by the way, is an interesting point at the same time.
I'm with you.
And now players have adapted already. And Adam Goods is one where you go, okay, I'll wait. I won't go and pick up the ball. And then I'll wrap my legs around someone's head and I'll pin them there and hope that they don't get the ball. Now, the mitigating circumstance maybe should have found a way to drop the ball and probably wouldn't have been paid and go on. But I like to look at the game as the way you think it should be played and what the game was when we grew up. And if we're not protecting the guy going for the ball and they haven't got some benefit of that. Now, I understand. I actually don't mind the rule. Players were going the other way and leading with their heads, which was dangerous. But I still think that if that is the way the game's umpired, I'm still not overly wrapped with it, albeit probably technically, if that's the right term, maybe is a correct decision, the way they want it to be umpired.
Never lose the passion out of your calling, Duke. Never lose the
what
passion
about the
out
response?
Of your calling.
That's what I'm interested in. Well, some have come for you. They came for you in a big
way.
They
came from everywhere.
I was behind you.
You know, I think, as you always are, Gary, like, unlike you to...
I was behind you, but no, I appreciate that. Someone called you an umpire basher.
No, I did cop that.
What about that one?
A man who's only, the only man who's allowed to have an opinion in the world of football, apparently, exclusive to old mate from 360 degrees. He's the only one who's allowed to... allowed to comment on the game. The rest of us, Chief, we're just, you know, there to amuse everyone else, apparently. But that's fine. You know what? This time of year, I love it because it gets the middle part of the year.
If you do crotchety.
If you do breakfast radio, get a little testy this time of year, Jim. You run out of gas a little bit and you get a bit fired up, Chief. And I don't mind it because you want to have a crack at a game that you're still very passionate about. And that's the way it rolls, go.
Nothing wrong with getting fired up. Nothing wrong with having passion.
I love the passion.
But I think one of the saving graces is most of us are big enough to say when we're wrong.
Yep, and he sort of got there. Didn't
he? I'm not sure he did.
He's almost endorsing the initial call.
I like
a week, Duke. A week on, he nearly got there.
You'll get nothing out of me but support for that, Duke. Let's get down on the boundary because Howie is down there now with the coach. Just spoken to Adam Simpson. We have the coach of the Richmond Football Club, Damien Hardwick. Take it away, Howie.
Well, thanks, Jim. Very chilly down here tonight and a cold Richmond coach. Thanks for joining us, Damien. By gee, there's been some talk this week about the three big forwards. Where are you going to play them? Were you not even read in the paper that Jack might miss out, which I found quite extraordinary. How do you integrate those three blokes into the side and make it work?
Yeah, it's an interesting. You could go and ask one question at a press conference, all of a sudden that's the lead. But look, from our point of view, they worked in really well. You know, we're probably lucky. They're all three different type of players. We've obviously got Ty, that's a bit of more of a beacon down forward. You know, Ben's more athletic, and Jack's really covering the ground well, up the ground also. But they can all play deep at various stages. So we're very lucky with those guys. If they're playing their best footy, they can all be dangerous.
What's the strength of the Eagles, Dimmer? What's the one thing you perhaps focus on the most as you take them on tonight?
There's probably a couple of key strengths, Jace. There's one, they're very good turnovers from, you know, for us getting the ball outside defensive 50. So it's going to be a real key to that area of the game tonight, just getting it out of that area quickly. I think they're number one forward half turnovers from that situation.
Yep.
The other one, they use their hands very well. They probably, you know, their kick-to-handball ratio is number one with regard to they have pretty much one-to-one kick-to-handball ratio at that stage. So, look, our handball hustle is going to have to be on tonight. We have to make sure we take out the ball carrier, but also, more importantly, look at the receivers around that.
Hey, Dimmer, good luck and congratulations, not that matters to you, but the last month or 5 weeks has been terrific to watch the Tigers and the way they've turned it around. It's been really measured and it appears you've got a couple of gears now, and I just see where the Eagles with McGovern and the like in the back half, their intercept marking, as you alluded to, so good. So I guess it's about unpredictability going forward, and that's the other thing I love. With Delidio spending more time down there and Morris and Edwards, and then you've got those three options, it does make you less predictable.
Yeah, it was. And we were missing a couple of pieces of those puzzles earlier in the year. You know, Delidio was out for a long period and Shane Edwards missed a couple of games also. So that probably took away from that fact. And, you know, Jack was by far the number one target inside 50. And, you know, I think over the last 4 weeks, he's down to AFL 23, which is more about the ranking that we're looking for. And you notice the successful sides, they're very unpredictable about their ability to go inside 50. And that's something we've strived for over a number of years. And, look, it's not to say that we've got it right at the moment, but it's certainly trending in the right direction.
Hey, Dimmer, well done as well in the last period. It's great when Richmond are up and running. I love it from a football point of view. Your defence just seems really organised at the moment. They don't seem to be getting caught out one-on-one. And it's like your team defence is, from where I sit, better organised than maybe it's ever been.
Yeah, I think it's, look, even all year, it's actually been pretty consistent. The thing that probably hurt us a lot was we had a couple of horrible games with turnovers through the, you know, through skill errors or decision-making areas that effectively, you know, you're unable to defend against. So from our point of view, we've been pretty happy with that back seven and their ability to, you know, take space and guard the dangerous oppo as well. So we've been really happy with their progression and, more importantly, their improvement. You know, guys like Nick Floss and Jack Bach and Dylan Grimes have had outstanding seasons together with Alex Rance and Basha Hooley. So we've been really pleased with those guys.
Damien, up the other end of the ground, Stephen Morris is playing a key role for what you're trying to do up there as a small forward. How important has his roles been this year?
Yeah, it's been important, obviously, from a defensive point of view. We're getting exactly what we want out of him, you know, high forward pressure, the ability to turn over the ball. And unfortunately, he's not reaping the rewards from a goal-kicking point of view, but the ability for him to cause turnover is really good. And we just feel he's... You know, his bag of goals, whether it's probably a bag of two or three or something, is probably not too far away. We thought he was terrific last week versus Fremantle. We expect that trend to continue tonight.
So is that a personnel thing? Or, I mean, if someone else comes in that can do that job, does he then go back dimmer? Or have you decided this is where the future of Stephen Morris lies?
Look, it's a bit of both. It's a good question, Bung. Look, if someone comes in and can play that role better, you know, he probably fulfills that position. And the good thing about Steve is incredibly flexible. You know, he will go back at stages tonight. We'll put him back there for a period of time and see how he goes. So the thing we like about it is it gives us, you know, another piece of flexibility to our side that he can play forward and back.
And Sean Griggs' past month or 5 weeks has been very good too. Has there been a key turnaround moment for that being the case?
Well, we probably spoke to Sean, and the reason we got Sean at our footy club was basically is that role as an inside mid, but for whatever reason, we've played him in various other positions where we've needed him to fulfil a role at various stages, but this year he's been challenged to play inside, and he's doing it to a very high level. I think he's by far having his best year at the club, and we've been really pleased with his progression of his in-ball, inside ball, you know, contested game, but he's also got an uncanny knack of being able to push forward and kick goals as well, which is also outstanding.
Hey, Dimmer, thanks very much. We really appreciate every time you jump on. Thanks for that. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Damien Hardwick, coach of the Richmond Footy Club, won their last four and are going absolutely beautifully. So we wish them well, and as Duke says, if they keep going the way they are, the Army will get up and about. That's what we love.
We're going to go to Dicko now.
Not quite yet.
Or shortly. I'm watching West Coast warm up. Now, this is a big, big test for this footy club. Sick of teams coming over here now and having, you know, very good records and then coming here and not being able to stand up or get the job done against an opponent that's in the same bracket. I mean, I don't mind it when you're playing against the, you know, a better side, obviously. But we saw it last week. The Giants came here against Collingwood. It was a 50-50 contest. Oh, the big test for the Giants. Can they? They failed. And I know they got injuries, and I know all that, but they failed to handle it. And if West Coast go away from this game having been beaten by four or five goals, then a lot of the good work that they've done to this stage and the credibility that they've earned gets eroded. So that's a big, big stage, how these blokes walk off this deck in another couple of hours.
Another matter needs to be addressed, Chief, and Damo and Jim.
Throw it at me, Duke.
And you know the way it works here, Chief. If there's something that's potentially embarrassing or even hurtful,
yes,
particularly if it involved a bit of vanity, maybe, well, we put it on the table,
confront
Chief. Yeah.
What have I done,
100%. Well, maybe not directed at you, Chief. And I haven't heard this.
Warrior, what have you done?
I don't think I've done anything, but you never know, do you? As Dar says, it gets raised, and you're always nervous until you know who it is.
I got some calls today.
I'm an openly vain man, so...
Well, I don't think you'd be concerned with this one. No. So I got some calls today. I'm told the sources are of the highest order. But let's listen to Melbourne Radio this morning, where one of our own was under attack. Have a listen.
No, I didn't realise until you told us off air this morning that you've got Gary Loinchops and Damien Barrett's show absolutely covered. There's twice as many people watching your show as theirs. So that's a fantastic feather in your cap.
Where did you get that information from, Andy?
See,
that's a feather in your cap.
If Gary or Purple are listening right now, that is not true. I did not say. I wouldn't have a clue what the numbers are. But you brought to the table that Gary's hair is... You mentioned that off air this
morning. That came off the SMS that he might have been putting a little bit of nugget in the hair. And I say, good on him if he is.
You mentioned the fact that the hair is just a darker shade than it has been for a while. Is that true?
Well, he's got a lovely black buffoon.
We need to address this, Gary. Gary. There's an easy way you can absolutely deny this.
Whispers.
Have you had the boot polish put through, because just under the light, my suspicion is you've had some work done.
You know, the way we normally deal with this is attack the accusers first.
Yeah,
Wispy Watson has gone down the plug path.
No.
And it hasn't worked.
He has not got plugs.
Suspect Dave Barham style, he's gone down that path.
No.
And I think he's got... at one stage was going with a real wispy comb over setup.
Don't talk to me.
And in the end, he just said no.
That's not Gary. He can't have done it. I don't believe that.
Well, I can't confirm that, but that's what it looks like.
So
the other Muppet, the bespectacled Andrew Birrarung Ma,
well,
he's just given up. He's got no he brings nothing aesthetically to the table. So
And
as for Andrew Gaze, well,
which leads me back, Chief.
Yeah. Takes criticism well. He
just loves it when the spotlight comes his way, which again comes back to the question because we know that he's fairly enamoured with his appearance. The Wolf, let's be honest with you, it's just where you're sitting.
Yep.
He's definitely had a haircut. He's definitely got a new look. It's a hair hat sort of look. Would you suggest, Chief, that there's some sort of polish? There's not a grey insight.
I'm happy to put it under inspection at any time, and then I want you to make your decision, and then I'll give you my answer. So put it on the line. Put it on the line.
100%
polish. I make my own opinion. Yes. So you've jumped on the wagon.
Well,
with,
I'm just saying, I call it as I see it. I don't have a look.
You've
and I'm saying, that's not a natural look for me.
Well, it is for me because he's got a couple of greys in the sideburns.
Chief. That's what you do. You leave a couple. If you're smart like the Wolf, you go, you don't want the full boot. You're asking for my opinion as well. Leave a couple on the side because
I haven't noticed any difference.
That puts most amateurs off. But then if you go in a little bit further,
you've
you go...
You've studied this stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, if I look here, that's not a natural
that's
look.
That's exactly the way I would have attacked it had I gone there. I would have left a couple out.
He's left a couple on the side.
For no other reason that, in fact, this is pretty boring radio, but...
I think it's highly entertaining radio.
I have once dyed my hair back in 1992 when I shaved it and went blonde. That was the only ever time.
Is there a photographic evidence of that?
I did that for a footy trip too.
Yeah, well, it was New Year's Eve actually. Yeah. It wasn't good. But since then, no. So what it
are
is...
Are you working a new look or something? Is there
because
he looks different. I didn't recognise him.
He is a naturally dark and swarthy man.
Yeah, thank you.
Iraqi
sort of Middle Eastern look about me.
I know there is.
And when I walked in, Big Nose even looked at me and said, put your head down. So I'm glad that Wispy and Maharaja are so enamoured with the look. And unlike the purple, who does go with a nice maroon hue.
Look, I was about to defend you there because I've spent way too much time with you.
He just took you down in a drive-by.
Yeah, and stop saying that. You started that.
He's got a nickname. That's stuck for the last 6 years.
But was that not just a visual appearance where the light was shining on his hair one day down?
Chief.
On my kids and wife, never once coloured my hair.
Chief.
Just for the record, Gary.
While you were hanging on.
That's pretty serious.
Did you have any plugs? Did you go down gracefully,
Jim?
Did you have any plug work?
No, I hung on to the wispiness until it was just too wispy,
right.
And then you cut it short and you just cop
it. Did you go down the Wispy Watson path and try and get that real Gerard Depardieu?
No, once it gets right down the back.
You had that part where you had like a map of Tassie on the front.
The problem was, Duke, it kept growing there. That was the hard part.
That was my
favourite. What's a map of Tassie?
We had a big tuff there at the front.
Rarely sighted. It's like the devil these days. You don't see it much anymore, Jim.
Is that right, Jim?
Jim doing some of his finest work, isn't he?
The bottom line is...
Unconvincing defence, Gary, would be all my...
There's no defence. I don't defend anything. But Wispy Watson, I tell you, he's going down the path that he shouldn't.
Did he... This is how I know Wispy.
I spoke to him
Did
today,
he mischievously drop one in the hope that you would...
He said to me that he backed me up, which, having just heard that for the first time, he didn't. And he was on, when I spoke to him and threatened action this morning, he was on his way to a dubious Chinese massage.
Come on.
He was. He told me.
So is it just a massage or do they...
Chief, how do I know?
We're casting aspersions about one of the all-time greats.
How do they normally wind up those messages?
Chief.
Now, that's inappropriate.
He did bring me Wispy, and he might have been my source.
Oh, yes.
And he was heavier breath when he ran.
I won't have it said. He was panting.
Andy Ma, maybe, but not Wispy.
Come on. Oh, I can't be allowing any of this.
Where'd this go?
How did we get onto this?
I don't know. We've lost
our way. It's a fact, he was.
So James is talking about things rarely seen, and now we're talking about blokes having dodgy massages. Where's this go?
When I say dodgy, I mean not the normal qualified. I think it's one of those market jobs where you get your feet, you know, your toes done.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not the rub.
Yeah. Oh, I never thought that, Chief.
Oh, I see.
You're a despicable man.
Hey, as we,
I was asking. That's why I thought you were inferring that he might have been getting a little bit of...
Take that back, Chief.
Where was Gozy? Is Gozy at the NBA Finals?
Well, he's got no other choice, Gozy. Have you seen his setup?
No, I just wondered in that grab. Was he?
Oh, sorry, I don't know. Was he
out of town, Gozy? No, he's on your show, Chief.
He is.
Yeah, he would have been.
Wonderful, wonderful man.
No,
Gazy.
Magnificent man.
No well, doubt
often
about that.
Wanders up Coventry Street and Clarendon.
In his Australian tracksuit.
And just see, stops long enough for someone to recognise him, Gazy.
Bill
and I bust him all the time out of the studio. There's Gazy just sort of walking in front of people. We love him. Everyone loves him. Hey, the Carlton Footy Club. Straighten up here, Purple. Putting an interesting process together. And as I understand, it's fed come back to me that Purple's given them a bit of a clip around how they've done it, but we might get to that, to find their new coach. What can you tell us?
Yeah, they have. They've appointed a sub...
Oh,
Chief,
sorry.
Just put my cough button.
Just while you get ready to go, Tim's listening with his beautiful wife,
and,
Susie.
Oh, no. Well, see, this is why it's disgraceful.
That's right, Chief. You shouldn't go down that path.
No, you were inferring.
No, I didn't infer anything.
Come on, get on with it. Chief, what have you done?
No. Yeah, that's it.
Well, I asked a question is all.
Job and the beautiful Watson girls now starting to wonder about things they should never be wondering about.
What are they wondering about, Jim?
Come on. The way you're speaking.
Move on.
This is an icon of this town.
I came on the end of it all and just said, what's going on?
It's not good enough from you, Chief.
Poor
Chief. Where am I competing?
It's not good enough from you.
Oh, look at the wolf.
Ship off, Chief.
It's the wolf story and I'm copying it.
Ship off.
Wolf, I backed up your dyed hair, Wolf, so you just be careful.
Oh, no.
It was you, Gary, who started.
Yeah, it was.
To defend, Chief. Exactly. Jim, yeah, they've done what every other club does now, and they've appointed a subcommittee. Look, this started about 15 years ago when one team appointed a subcommittee, and then all hands are washed now of the outcome of a decision. I mean, Darce has sat in on a subcommittee and got the decision, I would say, right. But I just don't think there's enough responsibility taken by the club itself and the board itself. I mean, these are high-powered businessmen and women on the Carlton board, and there's so many of them. I don't know what they actually do for the club, and I just think they probably should have, at this situation, having
so
gone
criticism
down...
is there's no director on the panel. Is that what you're saying? They've got the CEO, Stephen Trigg, but no board representation.
They've got an Australian soccer coach whose credentials are unquestioned when it comes to coaching, but at the same time, how much time is he going to be realistically able to put into that role? You've got Chris Judd. Again, you're not going to question Chris Judd, but it's not as if it's in front of him as to who is going to be the next Carlton coach. And yes, he'll bring some input to the table, but so too would any number of those dozen people on the board should they want to go down that path. So that's the reason I raised that one, Jim. Jim, just we started talking tonight about what happened last night with some of the Hawthorn incidents. Gary raised a couple of fist to the stomach, and I raised the Sam Mitchell knee to Taylor Walker. Graham Corns in the Adelaide Advertiser has written a column which has been filed today. He too has raised these issues. Look, there was that what appeared to be a deliberate knee from Sam Mitchell to Taylor Walker, which finished the Crows skipper's night. Even in the old days, deliberately kneeing and elbowing an opponent would attract a substantial suspension. If the match review panel does not react to these incidents with a significant penalty, it will have failed in its duty to protect its young footballers as well as the image of the game. There's other instances that Graham Corns has referred to here.
How does he categorically state that it was deliberate? He's a mind reader.
He says then there was what appeared to be a deliberate knee. I think those instances and incidents will be looked at, Chief. That's what they do. I mean, the ones Gary referred to with the stomach, the fists to the stomach.
No problem with those. The
issue.
Mitchell one, he's chasing a bloke in the forward pocket and he's about to get cleaned up and he reacts. So I'm just I'm surprised Cornsey's convinced himself that that was deliberate. That's all.
Well, it's in the Adelaide Advertiser, and I've got no doubt the match review panel will have a look at them.
Yeah,
I think they'll all be fines if there's anything,
as
far as I see them to be. And look, I'm with you. I have raised that Sam Mitchell thing. I reckon he'll probably escape even a fine.
I think he will too, because of the fact that I thought he was covering himself up. They will look at it. The other stuff is something that Mark Evans, I would imagine, will say, look, we know it's it's not hurting anyone, the little fist to the guts, but it's not a great look for our code. You're going around just swinging arms in the bug's gut. So give us a $2,000 check and don't do it again.
Well, Michael Ferrito put on a full-on fist to the back of Buddy Franklin's head last week and only got a fine as well. So,
well, at least there was a ball vaguely in the area.
No, it wasn't anywhere near it. Was it? I had a close look at it.
No, I know where the ball was. It was vaguely in the area in relation to the other ones that we saw last night.
Mm.
How much would Spud have been fined over the journey if
$4 million.
That was his stock in trade, Spud.
Well, the actual Spud you were talking about has also lost a fair bit of cash over the journey. As did Spud Ferrito. He's one of the great flag flyers of all time, which is why his teammates love him so much. But there did come a time when he'd cop that many fines for being third or fourth in to a melee. he did have to go to the club and say, look, I ain't flying this flag as hard as I have my whole time if I keep copping $4,000 and $5,000 fines.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.